السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا.
الآن هاوي.
فان الحمد لله سان.
How you going?
نعم شيخنا.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. بإذن الله today we hope to complete our readings from باب ليس المؤمن بالطعان. باب ليس المؤمن بالطعان. The chapter that being a defamer, going about smearing the people and denigrating them, is not from the attributes of the people of sound iman. The people of sound iman, they are not waqa'un fi aradi nas bi dhammi wa dhiba wa nahwihima. They are not people who go about attacking the people's reputation and belittling them and snaring them. If a person becomes so used to this negative character and attitude to the extent that we can say, oh, that is his lifestyle, then this is not from the way of the people of Iman at all. One goes about defaming the people and belittling them, smearing them, attacking the people's reputation. This is not from the way of the people of Iman. If a person has this negative attitude, it's a symbol of his very low Iman. May Allah protect each and every one of us. We go to Hadith 312, where Imam al-Bukhari said, Rahimahullah, Haddathana Ahmad ibn Yunus, قال حدثنا أبو بكر ابن عياش عن الحسن بن عمر عن محمد بن عبد الرحمن بن يزيد عن أبيه عن عبد الله عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال ليس المؤمن بالطعان ولا اللعان. ليس المؤمن بالطعان ولا اللعان ولا الفاحش ولا البذيء. ليس المؤمن بالطعان ولا اللعان ولا الفاحش ولا البذيء. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله reported this hadith from his Sheikh أحمد بن يونس أبو عبد الله التميمي رحمه الله. الإمام البخاري reported it from his Sheikh أحمد بن يونس. And he is Abu Abdullah al-Tamimi. He said, Haddafana Abu Bakr ibn Ayyash. Abu Bakr ibn Ayyash, he, rahimahullah, kana qari'an. He was a scholar of qira'at. He was well known amongst the scholars of the recitals of the Quran. He learned and perfected the recitation of the Quran. And he used to teach the people the Quran. And he has assigned between himself and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud as from those who took Quran from the students of those who learned from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhum. Abu Bakr ibn Ayyash al-Kufi, rahimahullah. And upon the science of hadith, he had the likes of Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri as his students. The likes of Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri took knowledge from Abu Bakr ibn Ayyash. So he was a great scholar of the recitals and the interpretation of the Quran. And he was a great reporter from amongst those who learned the Sunnah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam and taught the Sunnah in the subsequent generation. There were a lot of comments about Al-Imam Abu Bakr ibn Ayyash from the scholars who mentioned his virtues. They mentioned his being a great scholar of Quran. They mentioned his being a great scholar of language and a great scholar of hadith. And from amongst those who stuck to the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even while innovations got spread. Abu Bakr ibn Ayyash is reporting this hadith from Al-Hasan ibn Amr at-Tamimi. Al-Hasan ibn Amr at-Tamimi rahimahullah is the teacher of Abu Bakr ibn Ayyash in this isnad. And Al-Hasan ibn Amr is reporting from Muhammad ibn Abdul Rahman ibn Yazid. Muhammad ibn Abdul Rahman ibn Yazid Abu Ja'far al-Nakhai. This is Abu Ja'far. Abu Ja'far al-Nakhai rahimahullah, who is reporting from his father. And his father is Abdul Rahman ibn Yazid. His father is Abdul Rahman ibn Yazid al-Nakhai. And Abdul Rahman ibn Yazid al-Nakhai is the one who is reporting from the eminent companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, one of those the Prophet loved so much, about whom he said a lot of positive things, radiyallahu anhu, was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Remember that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to encourage the people to go and learn the Quran from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And he himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to be called Ibn Ummi Abd. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to refer to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud as Ibn Ummi Abd, the son of the mother of a servant of Allah, Ibn Ummi Abd. This is evidence that it is lawful for a teacher to refer to his student with a nickname. A teacher would refer to his student with a nickname. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he directed the people to read the Quran upon the beautiful recitation of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he says, "Man sarrahu an yaqra' al-Quran kama unzil, falyaqra' bi qira'ati ibn Ummi Abd." Whoever feels delighted, happy to read the Quran as freshly as it was revealed, falyaqra' bi qira'ati ibn Ummi Abd, let him recite upon the reading of Ibn Ummi Abd. And at that he was referring to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. This is evidence that a learned person or a teacher may refer to his student with a nickname. The nickname might come from him, and it might come from others who gave him that nickname. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud became to be popularly referred to as Ibn Ummi Abd. He is the one who is reporting this hadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Messenger said, alayhi salatu wa salam, laysa al-mu'minu bil-Qur'an ma'aziratan. Laysa al-mu'minu bil-Qur'an wala al-la'an. Laysa al-mu'minu bil-Qur'an wala al-la'an wala al-fahish wala al-bazi. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, laysa al-mu'minu bil-Qur'an. The mu'min, the person of iman, the person who declares iman in Allah, his messenger, and in all the rest of the usul of iman, who speaks iman and acts upon sound iman, laysa bil-Qur'an. You will not find a person upon sound iman being a defamer. You will not find a person upon sound iman defaming the people and going about belittling the people or going about denigrating the people, degrading the people. You will not find a person with sound iman doing that. The Prophet said, Sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Laysa al-mu'minu bit-ta'am. The mu'min, the person of Iman, is not in any way having this negative trait, this negative character of going about attacking the reputation of the people. You will not find a person upon sound Iman who has this. For those of us who pay good attention to learning the science of hadith and the approach of the scholars of hadith, how they handle a hadith in their books of hadith, like Al-Imam al-Bukhari, you would note that hadith 312, this first expression in the hadith, has been employed as the chapter heading in this hadith, for this hadith. We are on the chapter, Laysa al-Mu'minu bit-Ta'an. You will see now that Laysa al-Mu'minu bit-Ta'an is from the statement of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is one of what Al-Imam al-Bukhari is well known for. He will pick what the scholars call Tarjamatul Bab, the titling of the chapter heading, the chapter heading that he gave. Sometimes he will pick it, and that picking it itself from the statement of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So if you would wonder at the titling, Laysa al-Mu'minu bit-Ta'an, how come Al-Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, titled these groups of ahadith like this? You will see, he only picked that title from the statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is very, very common in the books that have been authored by Al-Imam al-Bukhari, especially in his book, Al-Jami' al-Sahih al-Musnad, المختصر من أيام رسول الله صلى الله من سنن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وأيامه that we regularly refer to as صحيح البخاري. So the Prophet said صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ليس المؤمن بالطعان. The person of Iman ليس بالطعان. Sound Iman would prevent him from being a defamer. Walalla'an. He cannot also be a causer. A person with sound Iman cannot be a defamer. The one who defames is the one who goes about attacking the reputation of the people. The ird of the Muslims does not matter to him. The ird, the honor of the Muslims, does not matter to him. He attacks their honor as he likes. He destroys their honor as he likes. A person of sound Iman does not have this kind of a trait. Likewise, walalla'an. You see, as ta'an is from al-mubalagha, likewise you will see al-la'an is also from the expressions of al-mubalagha, intensity. That is always cursing, always cursing, always cursing, always cursing. This is not from the attribute of the people of sound Iman. And as I had mentioned from the very beginning, you will see here now, At-Ta'an is being mentioned side by side with Al-La'an. That goes to make us understand that there is difference between Ta'an. The Ta'an is the one who speaks about the faults. He goes about the faults of the people. He goes about spreading the faults. He goes around denigrating them. Sometimes some of the people who do things like this, they want to seek eminence. They want the people to think that they are eminent. They want the people to think that they are noble. They want the people to think that they are righteous. They are knowledgeable. So they think that the way to show that is to bring down others, is to denigrate others, is to belittle others, because they want to express their own superiority over those persons. So when a person does that, yet and finas, is just going about belittling the people and ascribing negativity to them. But as for the Ta'an, that is the one. As for the La'an as against Ta'an, the La'an begs Allah to make the people to become bad. He begs Allah that negative attitude should stick to the people. the people should be distanced from the mercy of Allah. So his own case is more widespread because he adds dua against the people. He adds it to his mentioning negatives about them. So ta'an is under la'an. Anyone who is la'an, regularly cursing the people, he is necessarily also what ta'an. So that is why the narrations about la'an, they can also appropriately refer to who? Ta'an. When a person is la'an, he is necessarily also what ta'an. For example, the one who laughs would have smiled. The one who laughs would have smiled. We discussed ibtisam, who that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like Jarir ibn Abdullah explained, radiallahu anhu, most of the times whenever he found the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he never saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam except that he was smiling. So the Prophet smiled regularly. But how about laughter? He would not laugh all the time, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you would see laughter starts with smiling. Laughter smile starts with a smile. When a person laughs, don't ask whether he smiles, because laughter is something that's beyond smiling. Likewise, when a person, Allah'an is beyond at-ta'an. Allah'an is beyond at-ta'an. Anyone who does Allah'an, he would have made what? At-ta'an. So anyone who makes cursing the people, mentioning and directing evil to them, asking Allah to bring evil to them, he has mentioned evil regarding those persons. You cannot come upon Allah unless you would have done what? A ta'an. But a person may do ta'an and does not make Allah. A person may do ta'an, mentioning the people with negative and spreading, smearing their reputation. That is about what? A ta'an. But when it has to do with Allah, it is begging Allah to bring it. So the person may make a ta'an and he does not make what? Allah. But anyone who does Allah, he has necessarily fallen into what? A ta'an. I hope that this matter is clear. And one of the evidences that these two expressions, these two words, a ta'an and Allah, are different, even though they are similar and they connect, is this hadith. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَيْسَ الْمُؤْمِنُ بِالطَّعَانِ وَلَا اللَّعَانِ. The person with sound iman cannot have this negative attribute in any way of being a ta'an. That is his job. He goes about attacking people's reputation. No. وَلَا اللَّعَانِ. The one who goes about cursing the people. He goes about cursing the people. I think even parents should pay attention to this. Many times parents become, a parent will become ta'an. He goes about making ta'an. All that he does regarding his children is ta'an, ta'an, ta'an. Mentioning their faults, mentioning their faults. And that tends to also bring down the child. The parent who is usually attacking and smearing, insulting his children, they soon become tired of him. Don't insult your children all the time. That is not to say, don't make his faults become clear to him. Oh, my son, you erred here. You shouldn't have done this. Do it like this. Do it like this. This one is wrong. This one is wrong. This one is wrong. And you go about explaining in detail what is wrong to the child, so that the child does not come on to this thing that is wrong again. So let's make a difference between that and just merely everything is a fault, everything is a plan he wants to mention. This is not from a good trait. And also some of us too, as parents, you can go on, people can go on, start cursing their child. You curse him all the time. You curse him all the time. And you've forgotten that you are a father to this child. Your curses will stick to him or her. You forgot that you are a mother to this child. Your curses will stick to him or her. So if you go on cursing, it may even be that the ascription of Allah, that it is from your own character, will be from your children. So let us watch this as spirits. La laysa al-mu'minu bit-ta'an wala al-la'an. It is not from the ways, from the attributes of the people of iman to be ta'an, to have all the time have to go about insulting, mentioning, denigrating the people and belittling them, defaming them, wala al-la'an, or cursing them. May Allah do this to you. May you never see this. May you never see this. I'm sorry to say this is something that's very, very common in places like Lagos and Ibadan. Very common. During the Hajj, myself and a brother were in the list. And you see that about all the time, the people curse themselves and insult themselves. In fact, one of the elderly women had to say that to us. She said, my children, yes, that's our problem in Ibadan. An elder woman said that too. She said, subhanAllah, look at this person abusing and insulting the next person. She said, oh, my son, that is our problem in Ibadan. May Allah forgive us. During Hajj. So I think this is something that we all must pay attention to. Insulting the people and beating them, insulting the people must pay attention to. This is not from the attributes of the people of Iman. وَلَا الْفَاحِشِ وَلَا الْبَرِيِّ. Al-Fahish is the one who is indecent, the indecent person. When he relates to the people, he is indecent, he is coarse, he is harsh in his dealings with the people. Al-Fahish, he goes about Fahish, indecent in his behaviors with the people, he is indecent. And then the Prophet added, alayhi salatu salam, wala al-Badir. Al-Bazi is the one who speaks to the people obscene words. He is vulgar in his speech. When he talks to the people, he is vulgar. About every statement he made is full of insults to the people. And one style of vulgarity in our own time is the use of innuendos. One style of vulgarity, like going behind the door to become vulgar, is the use of innuendo. Some of us, in the name of being in the corporate world, because the use of innuendo is very, very common in the corporate world, when they write official letters, when they hold meetings too, you see them employing innuendos to insult the people that they talk to. So for the sake of Allah, let us abstain from this. Whether you say it directly or indirectly, don't be a person who is vulgar in speech, that is al-bahi, or vulgar in his action, that is al-fahish. When a person is vulgar in his action, that is al-fahish. When he's vulgar in his speech, the ulama mentioned that to be from the aspects of being the badi, for the sake of Allah. In fact, some of them would even say that al-badi, هُوَ الَّذِي لَا حَيَاءَ لَهُ. Al-Bada'a is that he does not have haya, no shame. So he can say anything to anybody, no shame. Can insult anybody. And some people will say that, they look, may I not get shame, I can insult anybody. And they think that it's a pricey thing. They think that it's a thing of value. They do not know that it's a thing of insult. Someone says, hey, look, there is nobody I can't insult. Is that a thing of praise? That is not from the way of the people of Iman. A man came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said that his wife has this attribute of al-bada'a. What did he say, alayhi salatu wa sallam? He said, taliqha, divorce her. Someone came to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam and said, this is my wife, there is nobody she can't insult. She can't insult anybody. Can insult the husband, insult his mother, insult anybody. Insult her own parents too. And then she comes back and says, me, don't just do nonsense in front of me, I will give it to you. And you think that this is a positive trait. It is not appropriate to be someone whose tongue does not have control. You are not shy, no shyness. You are not shy at all. You've lost the sense of shyness. That is the person that is referred to as al-Bari. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ليس المؤمن بالطعان ولا اللعان. The person of sound iman is not a ta'an. It does not have this negative character of finding the faults of people and spreading their faults. ولا اللعان is not also a kafir. He curses all the time. He curses all the time. Now, the mazloom can give a curse. The person who is cheated can give a curse. Now, we know that the Sharia, da'wah to mazloom, be careful about oppressing the people. The one you oppress can curse you. Also, people can be cursed if they are known to know the truth and they hide it. Like Allah mentioned to us in Surah Al-Baqarah, when he spoke about الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ مَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالْهُدَىٰ, what Allah has revealed from the clarity, from the clearness of this deen, and the thing of guidance in this deen. So they hide it, they know it, but they hide it deliberately from the people. So these people are cursed. يَلْعَنُهُمُ اللَّعَيْنُ. Yes, he says they are la'anun. He did not say they are la'anun. People who curse the people all the time. Which means that a person of iman can give a curse. Maybe he was oppressed, he can give a curse. If you oppress, he can curse you. So don't come back to say, sinna, laysa al-mu'min bita'an wa la'an. Al-la'an is the one who does it all the time. La'an. This is the one that is not from the attributes of the people of iman. I hope that is clear. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wal al-fahish wal al-bazi. The person of iman is not also a fahish. The fahish is the one who is indecent, is harsh in the behavior of the people. Every person who has something to do with him will have to move backwards after relating with him. Wal al-bazi. Likewise, the one who is shameless in his speech, he abuses anyone, insults the people. And he says all kinds of obscene and vulgar words to the people. If this becomes the character of a person, that person should know that iman is little in his mind. May Allah protect each and every one of us. I think that will suffice on Hadith 312. In Hadith 313, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, حدثنا خالد بن مخلد قال حدثنا سليمان بن بلال عن عبيد الله بن سليمان عن عبيد الله بن سلمان عن أبيه عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال لا ينبغي لذي الوجهين أن يكون أمينا لا ينبغي لذي الوجهين أن يكون أمينا لا ينبغي لذي الوجهين أن يكون أمينا. الإمام البخاري reported this hadith from his Sheikh Abu al-Haytham Khalid ibn Makhlad. الإمام البخاري reported this hadith from his Sheikh Khalid ibn Makhlad Abu al-Haytham al-Kufi, who said حدثنا سليمان بن بلال. Abu Abdullah al-Juhani is reporting from Sulaiman ibn Bilal. Khalid ibn Makhlad is reporting this hadith from Sulaiman ibn Bilal. Abu Abdullah al-Juhani rahimahullah. And he is reporting from Ubaidullah ibn Salman. Ubaidullah ibn Salman. He is Abu Abdullah al-Juhani. As for Sulaiman ibn Bilal, he is Abu Muhammad al-Qurashi. Sulaiman ibn Bilal is Abu Muhammad al-Qurashi. Ubaidullah ibn Salman, he is Abu Abdullah al-Juhani. Abu Abdullah al-Juhani, Ubaidullah ibn Salman, is reporting this hadith from his father, Salman al-Juhani. Salman al-Juhani is the student of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu in this hadith. Salman al-Juhani, Ubaidullah ibn Salman al-Juhani, reported from his father Salman, and Salman al-Juhani is the student of أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه in this hadith. And Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه said that the Prophet said عليه الصلاة والسلام لا ينبغي لذي الوجهين أن يكون أمينا. ذو الوجهين. ذو الوجهين. لا ينبغي لذي الوجهين أن يكون أمينا. So who is ذو الوجهين? ذو الوجهين, the Prophet said عليه الصلاة والسلام, it is not appropriate that ذو الوجهين is أمين. You can't be ذو وجهين and then we make you أمين. لا ينبغي لذي الوجهين أن يكون أمينا. It is not appropriate to place trust in a person that is ذو الوجهين. Don't place لا ينبغي. It is not appropriate to feel safe with a person who is ذو الوجهين. So what is ذو الوجهين? ذو الوجهين, a person with two faces. Wajhun is a face. Go. So when he has wajhan, he has two faces. So we refer to him as ذو الوجهين, a person with two faces. So who is that? The person with the two faces is the one who, when he meets a group of people, he is with them. He talks to them. He relates with them. He laughs with them. When they mention the other group of people, he also insults them. He abuses them. And then he goes to that second group too. He relates with them well. He is friendly with them. When they speak evil about the other group, he also speaks about the first group that he had been in too. So he is on both sides. When they speak good of themselves, yes, he's with them. When they speak evil about the other group of people, he also is with them. He goes to them, the same group that was spoken about. He goes there again. When they speak good, yes, he's with them. When they speak negative about the other group, he's with them again, like the munafiq. وَإِذَا لَقُوا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قَالُوا آمَنَّا وَإِذَا خَلَوْا إِلَى شَيَاطِينِهِمْ قَالُوا إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ. So when the munafiq is with the people of Iman, say, oh, we are together. So you see them, they observe Salah with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They observe Salah. They even will sometimes go out in jihad with the Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasallam. Even though they may be trackers, even in that. And that's from their double face. That's from their double face. So with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they say, Amen. We are with you, O Muhammad. We believe as you believe. We pray as you pray. We do what you do. Right? وَإِذَا خَلَوْا إِلَى شَيَاطِينِهِ. Allah mentions their conspirators, those that they collude with upon evil. Allah mentioned them as shayateen. قَالُوا إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ. They face to those shayateens, those devils amongst humans that they conspire with against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Say, إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ. We are with you. We are together. We are on the same page. We are just deceiving Muhammad and his people. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the kind of way of the person with two faces. He's here, he's there. Now the ulama say there is a person who can relate with the two groups and he is not a double-faced person. When he is with this group, they mention all that is good. He's mentioning goodness with them. They are speaking good. And the two groups are upon an enmity. But when he comes here, he says what is good to them. When they mention the other group, he says, hey, this one is right, but this one is wrong. He is fair to the other group, to the second group. He comes to group A. When group A mentions group B, he's fair to group B before group A. He keeps a face. And when he comes to group B, he is the same person. When group B mentions group A with bad, he says, yeah, this is correct, or this one is wrong. So he mentions to both sides what is right and wrong about them. When he comes to group A, he says, this one he said is good about you. This one is not good. Change it. So he is now fehun to both groups, even though both groups are in a quarter. This kind of a person is not referred to as a double-faced. Why? because he maintains the same pace when he is with group A. He maintains the same pace when he comes to group B. But some of the people, by way of wanting to bring him to their side, they now begin to insult him of being double faced. No, he is not. When he comes to group A, he says the same thing he says when he comes to group B. He advises group A as he advises group B. He says to group B what they need to change, what they need to adjust. He comes to group A too and says, look, you have to change this, you have to adjust it. When they say about group B, what group B has not done, he says, no, they did not do that. When they say about group A, what group A has not done, he says to group B, no, don't go to extremes. These people are not like this. So for him, he's able to relate on both sides. This is not being double-faced. In fact, this is encouraging the Sharia. This is the way of the people of Iman. They say to every group of people what is appropriate about all of us. They keep a regular pace. But as for the one who will abuse group A in front of group B, and abuse group B in front of group A, so that group A thinks that he's just with them, they feel safe with him. Group B also thinks, oh no, he's with us, we are with him. This kind of a person has two faces, because the face with which he relates with group A vis-a-vis group B is different from the face with which he relates with group B vis-a-vis group A. So this kind of a person has two faces. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, la yambagi an yakuna mislahu amina. This kind of a person, it is not appropriate to place your trust in him. Because all that he looks for is something that pays him. It's just about himself. He cares less about truth and standing for it. So what concerns him is what he gains from either of the groups. Don't place your trust upon this kind of a person. La yambagi an yakuna amina. So it's not appropriate that you bring this kind of a person and you make him an amin. You make him a person you trust. If you entrust your privacy with him, he's going to betray your privacy. But if he's a person who, when this group speaks evil about the other, you say, no, he was not like this. He will know he did not do this one that you said. Okay, yes, this one, he did it, and I have talked to him about it. And then they come to group B. They say, group B, oh no, this one was no, so no, he was not like that. He's also speaking in defense of group A before B. Say, no, he did this truly, but this one, he did not do it. This one is a regular face, is a person who is upon nasiha. When you are wrong, he tells you, no, this one is wrong, but this one was right. Or this like this, trying to bring peace amongst the two groups. So his face is a single regular face. But the one who is the enemy of A when he is with B, and he is the enemy of B when he is with A, this kind of a person has two faces. One face A, and the second face B. Don't trust this person. Don't go trust him. The question is, what is the connection between these and the issue of being a ta'an, being a person who finds fault? This kind of a person with two faces, he will be always talking about the faults of people in the various groups. When it comes to group A, he's talking about the faults of group B. He's belittling them, he's insulting them, he's abusing them, he's defaming them, he's smearing them. When he comes to group A, he begins to defame and also denigrate the people in group B. So he has two faces. This kind of a person, don't entrust your privacy to him. He goes here, he's insulting this one. He goes the other place, he's insulting this one. That one is not appropriate. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la yambaghi li dhil wajhain an yakuna aminan. It is not appropriate that a person who is double-faced is placed in the position of trust with the privacy of the people, because it's going to violate it, seeking the good face of both sides. That's why, as an individual, I don't like a person who wants to be friendly with everybody. You should be bold enough to say to people when about their errors, give them good nasiha in a nice way. You give them good nasiha in a nice way. Bi-idhnillah, hoping to worship Allah with it, hoping to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with it. You say to people what is good on both sides. You are a nasih, ameen. You're a person who gives sincere advice to a person at every point in time. Even if that person would not like it, you will tell him the truth. My brother, this is the truth. Don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, or do this, do this, do this. For the sake of Allah. When they say, okay, how about him? How about this? Please, I will discuss that with him, inshallah. If you know that what they are saying about him is true. If you know that what they are saying about him is bad, say, no, he did not do this one that you said. I have found out. I've listened to him. So you defend him in front of A. The same thing when you go to B. If he speaks evil about A, and you know that this evil is not true, say to him, no, this is not true. I have found out about him. I have investigated it. I have you say what you know regarding the situation. This is what I know. I don't know him like this. I don't know him like this. But as for this, yes, he did it, but he has felt remorse. If he has not felt remorse, I'm still talking to him about it, and I hope that he will change. So that is a regular pace you have kept with both A and B. I hope that this matter is clear. But as for the one who abuses A in front of B, he abuses B in front of A, this is not suitable for Amana. Don't place him in the position of Amana. I hope that that hadith is clear. And the connection with our chapter heading is that when a person becomes double-faced, he goes about insulting the people and destroying their reputation. Then we can come to hadith 314. وروى الامام البخاري سيد رحمه الله حدثنا عمرو بن مرزوق قال اخبرنا شعبه عن ابي اسحاق عن ابي الاحوص عن عبد الله قال الام اخلاق المؤمن الفحش الام اخلاق المؤمن الفحش الام اخلاق المؤمن الفحش. This is a statement now from a companion, radiyallahu anhu, as different from all other statements we've been reading. And I had mentioned to us repeatedly that in Al-Adab al-Mufrad, sometimes Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, we bring to us statements from the companions or statements from the tabi'un regarding the matter under discuss. Here, this narration 314 is from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud again, radiallahu anhu. And Al-Imam al-Bukhari has reported it from his teacher, Amr ibn Marzuk. And Amr ibn Marzuk is reporting it from Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj, Al-Imam, rahimahullah. And he is reporting from Abu Ishaq, al-Sabi'i, rahimahullah, Amr ibn Abdullah al-Sabi'i. Al-Imam Abu Ishaq al-Sabi'i, he is Amr ibn Abdullah al-Sabi'i. He was a great scholar of hadith. His son was a learned person. His grandchild was a learned person. His great-grandchild was a learned person. Abu Ishaq al-Sabi'i, Amr ibn Abdullah. And he is reporting this from Abu al-Ahwas. Abu al-Ahwas was from amongst the students of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. And this is a statement he has reported from him. Abu al-Ahwas, he is Auf ibn Malik al-Ashja'i. He was a tabi'i. Auf ibn Malik al-Ashja'i is the tabi'i of this hadith. And he is the one reporting it from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhum. Abdullah said, Al-amu akhlaqi al-mu'min Al-Fuhsh, Al-Amu, Laum, from Laum. And that is blame. So Al-Amu Akhlaqil Mu'min, the most blameworthy from any character a person of Iman would show is Al-Fuhsh, indecency. The most blameworthy thing that a person of Iman will do is to be what? Indecent. It's very, very blameworthy that a person of Iman is not decent. He's not decent in his speech. He's not decent in his look. He's not decent in his approach to matters. He's not decent in his relationship with his people, with his wife. He's not decent. With her husband, she's not decent. With her children, she's not decent. Al-amu akhlaq il-mu'min. The most blameworthy the most blamable character a Muslim will put up is what? Al-fuhsh, to be indecent, to be obscene. Obscene. He wants to speak this obscenity. He relates to this obscenity. Everything about him, an obscene person, is coarse, harsh. You can't relate with him. So every person runs away from him. When he talks, insults, vulgarity, obscenity. This is the worst character a person of Iman can put up. So bad. Al-amu akhlaqil mu'min al-fuhsh. The most culpable, the most blamable thing a mu'min will do is to be a person of indecency, to be obscene. May Allah protect all of us. Even the expression is dirty. Be a dirty person. Whenever he's mentioned or she's mentioned, they'll say, that sister, she's a very dirty person. Please don't relate with her. These days, we use another expression. So that sister, she's a very toxic person. Don't relate. Very toxic. Al-alam. Al-am. This is the worst. The most blameworthy. Al-am. This is the sigat of tafdil code. The most blameworthy thing a mu'min will do is to be indecent. Don't, for the sake of Allah, become an indecent person. You are so toxic. People will find it difficult to have anything to do with you. Your wives, your children, everybody is tired of you. You are so toxic. No good. No one can think about benefiting anything good from you because of your toxicity. Some of the people who are so toxic. And this is the most blameworthy thing that a person of Iman would do. To be toxic. May Allah protect us. I think that suffices for Hadith 314. And if you ask what the connection with our discourse about the one who goes about defaming the people and attacking their reputation, the person who is toxic, that is his job too. The toxic person, the coarse person, the indecent person goes about insulting the rest of the people. So the hadith is so, so suitable for the chapter. The next hadith, bi'idhnillah, which will be the last under this chapter, comes under hadith 315. In it, al-imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, haddathana Muhammad ibn Abdul Aziz, qala haddathana Marwan ibn Muawiyah, قال حدثني محمد بن عبيد الكندي الكوفي عن أبيه قال سمعت علي ابن أبي طالب صلوات الله عليه يقول لعن اللعانون قال مروان الذين يلعنون الناس. الإمام البخاري سيد رحمه الله حدثنا محمد بن عبد العزيز قال حدثنا مروان ابن معاوية. This Sheikh Marwan ibn Muawiyah Abu Abdullah was from amongst the teachers of Al-Imam Ahmad. Al-Imam Ahmad was from amongst the students of Marwan ibn Muawiyah. He was a learned person, very reliable. And he is the only one who is called by this name amongst the scholars of Hadith. If you read an isnad and you find Marwan ibn Muawiyah, just recall that teacher of Al-Imam, Imam Ahmad, and he is the only person amongst the scholars who has this name, Marwan ibn Muawiyah, reporting Hadith. He said, حدثني محمد ibn Ubayd al-Kindi al-Kufi. Muhammad ibn Ubayd al-Kindi al-Kufi is reporting from his father. The two of them, Muhammad ibn Ubayd al-Kindi and Ubayd al-Kindi. Ubayd al-Kindi is Abu Jabir. Ubayd al-Kindi, he is Abu Jabir. Both Muhammad ibn Ubayd and his father, Abu Jabir al-Kindi, they are not well known. They have some sort of jahala with them. And from the conditions to break a hadith authentic is that all the reporters must be known. They must be well known in terms of their retentive memory and trustworthiness. But these people, not much is known about them. So they have some sort of what the scholars will refer to as jahala with them, both the son and the father, Muhammad ibn Ubaid al-Kindi, and the father, Ubaid al-Kindi Abu Jabir. So it is he who is saying that he heard Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu saying that لعن اللعنون لعن اللعنون. Those who regularly curse the people are accursed. Those who curse the people always, they are accursed. It is mentioned from the statements of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. But like we said, this isnad is weak. It's a weak statement, and it has two persons, the father and the son, Muhammad ibn Ubaid al-Kindi, and his father, Abu Jabir al-Kindi. The two of them are not well known. So we cannot affirm that this is an authentic statement from Ali ibn Abi Talib. And that statement says, لعين اللعانون. Those who regularly curse the people, those who curse the people, they are also accursed. And that will fall under our chapter heading, because those who are used to cursing the people, they are also going about speaking negative about them. So they fall under being ta'anun also. So la'anun are also what necessarily ta'anun, because a la'an will involve a ta'an, zikrul insani, bil'ayb, mentioning him with ayb and attacking his person will come under cursing him. Qala Marwan, Marwan ibn Muawiyah, the Shaykh of Al-Imam Ahmad and the Shaykh of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari in this isnad, he explains what does it mean to say la'anun. He says, alladhina yal'anun an-nas. The la'anun are those who are given to cursing the people. They curse and then they curse and then they curse and then they curse. Lu'in al-la'anun. It is reported that Ali ibn Abi Talib said, those who curse regularly are also accursed. But we have mentioned that cursing the people involves insulting them and abusing them. That is why it has come under this chapter that laysa al-mu'minu bit-ta'an. It is not from the way of the people of Iman to be a defamer, to be a person who denigrates others, to be a person who insults and attacks the reputation of the rest of the people. This is not from the way of the people of Iman. For the sake of Allah, we all should adjust this aspect of us, going about attacking the people's reputation, going about belittling them, denigrating them, smearing them, and so on and so forth. Let us, for the sake of Allah, abandon them. Likewise, cursing and cursing. And that's why the next chapter, the three ahadith occur under it about la'an. There are more information about la'an, like we have said. When a person is la'an, he is also what ta'an. But a person can be what ta'an, and he is not what la'an. And all the narrations that speak evil regarding la'an are also suitable as evidence under what ta'an. I hope that it is clear, inshallah. And I think we can stop here to continue in the next chapter in our next class, Abu Amr. Now, assalamu alaikum, ikhwa.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, ya Sheikh Adi.
Abu Rahman, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, ya Sheikh Adi.
There's a question here, we can go on to read about this issue.
Okay, sir.
Someone is a relative and your benefactor, but he is in loggerhead with your parents. How should one deal with relating to the person considering the fact that he fails to accept support? You have a relative, maybe your uncle or thereabouts, paternal or maternal, and they have issues with your parents. Give Nasi how to both sides. If you investigate the matter, if you happen to come in between in the matter, investigate and know what's right and what is wrong. And try to, in a nice manner, explain to both sides. If your parents are right, let them know where they are right. If they are wrong, let them know, daddy, mommy, in a nice way, in a very nice way. Let them also know that daddy or mommy, you were wrong here. Uncle was right here. And likewise, when you discuss with your uncle, let him know after your investigations what he was right in and what he was wrong about. So you can apologize for daddy and mommy in front of the uncle. And you can apologize for the uncle in front of daddy and mommy. So this is a regular case. This is a nostro, lil ghayr. You are giving sincere advice to both sides. Because what Allah has commanded you is that kumu qawwamina lillahi shuhada bil qist walau ala anfusikum awil walidain wal aqrabin. Allah has commanded us to stand upon justice. Walau ala anfusikum, even if it be against us, awil walidain, or it's against our parents, wal aqrabin, and our relatives, stand for justice. So after investigating the matter and knowing what truly transpired, advise both sides. Good for them. Good sides in a very nice manner. And then do not say, oh, this is my father and mother, I have to side them. If you side them and by that you side injustice, you would also be violating the limits of Allah regarding that. I hope that it is clear.
Naam, ya Sheikh Adam.
Naam, Abba Man.
And another question here says, Assalamu alaikum. Is it permissible to lie while trying to settle between two people quarreling?
Yes, if that untruth will resolve the matter. Like saying to a man, this woman that you want to divorce, she still likes you, she still loves you, she still wants to be your wife. She's still interested in you. She still spoke positively about you. If you tell a woman that, if you tell a man that, he'll be happy. It will improve his confidence quotient regarding the wife that he is in trouble with. Likewise, if you go back to the woman, if you are in between, if you come back to the woman, you say something good also about the man. So this man, he still wants to keep you. He still trusts you. He still loves you. Still, in fact, still, you know, you can say things like that, and then the two of them begin to leave up the things of quarrel and then become ready, inshallah, to meet themselves and then reconcile. Sometimes you have to start begging them, start begging the both sides, the male or the female, as a case. I hope that that's clear. So, sometimes telling that untruth will help resolve the matter, it is allowed. And it is from one of the three incidences the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clearly mentioned that a person may say something that is not true. Allahu alam.
Jazakumullah khairan ya Sheikh.
Ameen, ameen.
So this one says, Assalamu alaikum ya Sheikh. What can one do with regards to a father that constantly causes harm emotionally to his daughter? The sister is currently depressed.
Well, the matter should be addressed. We're in a generation now where people don't like to be corrected. Children don't like to be corrected. If it is in this matter, then the matter should be addressed appropriately. If the girl is doing something that the father is displeased with, then she should change. You should change. You are doing something and your daddy doesn't like it, so change it. If you are doing something, your daddy does not like it, change it. If you are doing something, your mommy does not like it, change it. And you know that this thing is actually really bad. Or if it's something that, yes, they have a say, you have a say. But they want what they want, what is good for you.
with their people of you, then change. Follow your father and your mother. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. He had a wife that he so much loved. This hadith occurred in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. He loved that woman so much. But Umar radiallahu anhu did not like the woman. Umar, the father of Abdullah, did not like him. So Umar used to say to Abdullah, divorce that woman. And Umar, even Umar, he used to say, my father, she's a nice woman. I like her. She did this, that, that. Say, divorce the woman. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu did not want to divorce the woman until Umar radiallahu anhu went to report the matter to the Prophet. Look at this boy. I told him to divorce his wife, and he's not divorcing the wife. What did the Prophet say, alayhi salatu wasalam? He said, follow your father. In our own times now, the child will go on to start saying that it's depression. Follow your father, follow your parents. If they are not commanding you to sin, what they are commanding you is still lawful. Follow them. If what their parents are telling you to do is right, follow them. And drop your own. The Prophet said to Ibn Umar, study about. If what your parents are saying is lawful, follow them. So if you don't follow them, they'll become angry with you, and Allah is angry with you too when they are angry with you. So if what they are saying is lawful, and it is from, you can see this is benefit. It's beneficial, except that I have my own way. No. Follow them. Follow your parents. That's why the ulama say, if they are parents like Umar, they are people of deen. The entirety of their considerations are also for deen too. Then follow them. But if you complain, don't follow them. Even if you touch upon something that you know that this thing is not beneficial for me, don't follow them. It's not deen. Like parents who don't like their children to wear niqab, don't follow them. Parents who don't want their children to leave their beard, this is compulsory to leave the beard. It's really, really not a thing of joy that some parents will be commanding the children against the instructions of Allah. In the first place, it's Allah that has ordained that the children should follow the parents. So if the children obey Allah, what should happen? Allah said, obey the parents. When the parents now say, disobey Allah, who has the biggest right of obedience? Allah, of course. So if the insistence of the parents is the reason why this girl or boy says, I'm in depression, is simply that the child does not want to obey the parents, and the instruction of the parents is an instruction that the deen supports, and it's in the interest of the girl or boy, as the case may be, Allahu A'lam, and that child should follow the parents. More so if the parents are the people of deen. Follow your parents when they are people of deen. Follow them. Like Ibn Umar was commanded to follow his father. Ibn Umar was the woman. I hope that's clear, Abu Abdurrahman.
Naam, ya Shaykhana, hasanallah ilaykum.
Ameen wa iyaakum.
This one says, Shaykhana, may Allah raise your rank and preserve you upon righteousness.
Ameen wa iyaakum.
There is a brother on Facebook regularly causing people of Bidya. Can we say this within the limit of the people of Iman? Sadadallahu ta'ala wa shaykhana.
Causing the people of Bidya. The people of Bidya have categories. There are those who are so engrossed in the statement of ulama. You see them sometimes when they make inkar of the munkar, when they repel and criticize the evil that the people of innovations are upon. They also mention them and perhaps stop them depending on the kind of innovations that they have gone into. It is not every kind of innovation that you cost the people. There are innovations that if the people are cost. There were some of the people of innovations who were costing the companions. They are cursing Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. These kinds of people, the ulama used to curse them. It is not every person of innovation that you can curse. There's any new things, we are not cursing every category of the people of innovation. So you should recognize it. It's not to say every person that is known with certain, that some of the people are even upon innovation, that you can only say that they fell into those innovations. Cannot really ascribe them to it. See, there are people that even when you say 1, 2, 3 words to them, they will get it. Instead of talking, then why not even just address the matter with them? For some of the people, cost does not help them. But if they wrap in the bid'ah, now I'm cursing. And the bid'ah is a kind of bid'ah that the early Muslims used to cost the people. Okay. But I think in our times, like Al-Imam Al-Albani rahimahullah was used to say, we need a lot of da'wah in our times than cursing and being coerced. Our da'wah itself is little. When we were younger than this, we used to hear of non-Muslims becoming Muslims, converting non-Muslims, and strengthening the path of the people of innovation, letting them know that this is the sunnah, and letting them abandon innovations and coming up on the straight path of sunnah. This one is little amongst us today. So instead of paying the energy to cross them, why not pay the energy to guide them, to teach them, to explain to them? Because this is Ummah of Rahmah. So we want to bring them to the deen. We want to invite them to the sunnah. Non-Muslims want to help them be able to come to Islam. And cursing them all the time will not help this major objective. So I think the brother should do anything. If he pays attention to teaching them and explaining the falsity in their way of life, perhaps it should be more beneficial to those people and to him too. Because if he gets used to it, perhaps he begins to even curse the people of Sunnah. And that is not acceptable. So perhaps this brother should change approach to teaching them and explaining to them instead of going about cursing them. There are people who may be cursed, really. Like the one who, in the last 3, 4, 5 years, he had been a thorn in the flesh of the people of the Sunnah. He had been abusing the companions. He had abused everybody. And he was explained to. He was invited in nice ways. A lot of people did a lot of things to be sure that they explained whatever he brought. He denigrated the books of Sunnah and the people of Sunnah and so on. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu and all these kinds of people. Over the years, they paid a lot of attention to him. So these kinds of people may be cursed because they became rules upon misguiding the people. That's also found in our deen. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are many verses, ta'ala ila kalimatun, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam will be commanded to invite the non-Muslims. So let's discuss about Tawheed. Let me explain to you. This is one part of the da'wah. At another time, you will say, Naj'al abna'ana wa anfusana wa anfusakum wa nisa'ana wa nisa'akum. So, Madad Shahid, then let us learn the curses of Allah upon the liar. So, this one also has its own stage. But I think we should pay attention to the first. It is when all the means to invite this person to goodness fails, then you can say, okay, this person appears to be a head amongst these people, misleading the people. It appears that he's doing it very directly. You can give a curse at that time. I hope that this matter is clear. All of us should go back to the drawing board, pay more attention to da'wah positively, making non-Muslims see Islam in a good light, telling them about Islam and Tawheed. Not just telling them about the errors in their deen, telling them this is Islam. Likewise, the Sunnah. Tell the people of innovations about the Sunnah. Let them see it. Leave it. And then they are entitled into it. As for cursing them, that's also another aspect of the da'wah completely. So it shouldn't just be about, oh, this person is going to be a curser. He's cursing. There was no one among the early Muslims whose job was just to curse the non-Muslims or just to curse the people of innovation. So don't become so used to it that you become known that your own job is that you are just cursing the people of innovation. Allahu alam. I hope that it is clear, inshallah.
Go
ahead. Can we call it today?
Naam, ya Shaykhana. As-salamu alaykum.
Ameen, as-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salamu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.